Well, good morning, Sunrise Community Church. I'm Pastor Greg here with my wife, Amanda. And today we want to welcome you into our living room for worship.
If your week has been anything like our week, it has involved a lot of change. And maybe your house looks like mine. It's covered in Legos, it's extra loud, and you're wondering what this next season's going to hold. Or maybe your house is quiet and your schedule's really empty and you too are wondering what this season's going to hold. Whatever place you're coming from today, we hope that these next few minutes can just be a time that we push away all the noise and that we focus on God and remember that He's in control even when things feel super chaotic.
Because of Jesus Christ, we are family, even though we're not together. And similarly, even though we can't be in the building, we still, together, are the church in our homes, right where you are right now. And in this season, one of the things that we want to make sure we do well is to stay connected with one another. If you haven't noticed already, we've made some changes to the homepage of our website, sunrisecommunity.church. And we invite you to go there after our time together today and check out our section titled Staying Connected During COVID-19. In this section, you can sign up if you haven't already for our weekly email. Connect with us on Facebook, which many of you are already doing and even doing now. And speaking of, we ask, you know, comment, let us know what you're doing or, you know, that you're watching in your pajamas or just, as a family or as individuals, let's say hi to each other while we're online together. But also want to draw your attention to one other thing we have on our homepage in this connection section, and that is the Share a Need, Meet a Need button.
During this time, one thing that I have found really beautiful is how the community is coming together, even if it looks a little bit different. So maybe you have a need, whether that's groceries, someone to talk to, or something else. We want to be able to meet that need. Or maybe you have time and you have space to meet a need, and you can go to the grocery store, you can pick up the phone and make a phone call, or just answer it if someone needs to talk. We would love to have your help. And I think during this time, we can put those two together and be a really beautiful example of how the hands and feet of Jesus are still at work, even from our separate homes. So fill out the form. Let us know whether you can meet a need, whether you have a need, and let's do that together.
In a moment, we're going to pray for our offering time this morning. And during that time, we'll put up a slide that shares some way that you can give even from home. But before that, we just want to communicate to you that we understand that this is a unique time. For some, your job may be in question, or you may have already lost your job. Your finances, your provision, your 401k, all these things are being upended a little bit right now. But we want to just remind you and remind ourselves that we don't give out of just necessity or obligation. We give as an act of worship in response to God. So maybe things are a little tight right now and you're able to give as you're able. Maybe God has blessed you and you're able to give beyond what you normally do. But we want to keep in mind that everything that we give is a response in worship to God because He is in control. He is the one who provides for us. Mm-hmm. He is the one who cares for our every need. And so we don't trust in our 401k and our bank account and our jobs and all the things that we can easily find our security in. Ultimately, we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that He cares for us.
Join me as we pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We thank You that we have this time. We thank You that You've given us the gift of technology that can bring us together even when we are apart, Lord. Mm. We just pray that during this time that we really lean in, that we listen, that we see this as a gift and not as a curse. Lord, we just pray that You guard our minds, our hearts from anxiety and from worry, Lord. And may we remember whose we are and who You are, Lord, that You are in control, that this is not a surprise to You, that You knew it was coming. You know when it'll end. It's not uncertain to You. And Lord, we praise You for that. Thank You that You are in control. And Lord, I just pray that our hearts can reflect that we can have an attitude of peace and have comfort even when the world around us seems chaotic and really uncertain. So we just pray that going forward this next week, that it is a week that is focused on you, that it is a week where we are listening in the silence, Lord. And I just pray for health and protection as we move forward in this time of uncertainty. We pray all these things in your powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, once again, we are so glad that you've chosen to be with us this morning. And now we're going to pass things off to Jake Kurtz and invite you to join us as we praise Jesus together through song.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who can carry that kind of weight? It wasn't my tomb till I met you. I was breathing the night light. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You call
Well, hello and welcome again. It is great to be joining you, although, again, I'm still up in the Great White North. You are still on your couches, in your kitchens, in your house coats, in your pajamas. And again, I'm not entirely sure how fair this whole thing is. Is here I am working, there you are just enjoying your bacon and eggs and orange juice and everything. But, you know, the sacrifices I make, what can I say? It is great to be here this morning and continuing on the series that we've looked at, which is God in Control. And over the last couple weeks, we've been focusing on a place where God is in control in different areas of our life. And last week, it was taking a look at looking at the fact that God will change our places of ministry. Understanding that oftentimes what we may want may be different than what God wants, and we have to be willing to change and be willing to go where He's calling us. But really, that big thing is that our places of ministry will change, but God's purposes will not. The mission of God remains the same. And I think that's important for us to remember as we continue on this journey. Every week it's changing from one day to the next, from morning to afternoon, from hour to hour. The situation has been changing, which also can mean that our places of ministry will be changing from week to week and morning to afternoon and hour to hour. And we have to be willing to respond when God says, I need you. And when He says, are you willing? Your answer will be yes. Now, I want to move a little different direction this morning, rather than just understanding God and being in control, but rather how we can respond to God being in control. And for that, I want us to be able to take a look at what peace is. And peace that can be found in God, that peace that passes all understanding, so that we're able to see where God is in the midst of turmoil and in the midst of stress. In order to get us prepared for the promise of peace which He makes for us, what do our hearts need to look like? How are we supposed to respond in a way that will give us genuine peace? And so if you got your Bibles, we're just reading a small passage, although we'll talk about a few others. We're just in Isaiah chapter 26. We find ourselves in verse 3, which is very straightforward and simple. And it says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. The message of Isaiah in this to God, and this assurance that God will keep us in perfect peace. So I guess probably the thing for us to ask this morning is, right from the very beginning, is how much do we worry? And maybe the next question is, how often are you at peace with others? And probably thirdly, how often do you remain peaceful in times of trouble? I'd say probably all of those things apply to us right now. Because as we deal with this COVID-19, there's probably all three of these areas probably apply to our lives. How often do we worry? How often are you at peace with others? Now, we may immediately think that this is something that goes along with people outside the walls of our home. But now, after 1 week or 2 weeks of being stuck in the same house for 24 hours of the day with the same people, maybe our peace with others is really trying to just keep the peace within our own family and figure out what that looks like. Thirdly, is how often do you remain peaceful in times of trouble and in stressful times? How often can you actually say that you are peaceful or you are in peace? Now, for this, I want to say that, you know, when I ask those questions, my answer is often, well, I worry kind of a fair amount about different things. And I can always probably find someone where there's a bit of conflict building up, or even in troubled times, I do have that worry. I do have that stress. It doesn't seem like I would define myself as peaceful, even in troubled times. And I guess we have to ask, is it possible for us to have peace even when we've got problems in our lives? Can we experience peace in times of sorrow, in times of sickness, in times of sadness? Often we say, if I could only get some peace and quiet, or if I could only get out of here, I'd be able to find some peace. It seems we're always looking for something that is in line with peace. And what I want to suggest is that we're always there, that we're always looking for peace, but in fact, peace is right there, and God is saying, I will give you peace freely, but you have to trust in me. Our problem for today is found in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Lots of people throughout the centuries have locked into this verse because the peace that comes from God is perfect. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. And we're learning about how important the promises of God are, especially through troubled times, and peace is one of them. And so I always think of this, especially when it comes to peace in tough times or peace in stressful times. I remember the first time I arrived in Israel. Sarah was back in Canada, and I was going ahead to find an apartment and find a place to live. And I happened to arrive on Shabbat or on Sabbath. And so no buses run on Sabbath. And I got off the plane, and I didn't know no buses run on Sabbath. It was my first time in Israel. And I had no way of getting from Tel Aviv, from the airport in Tel Aviv, up to Jerusalem, to where I would get to the dorms at the university. And I remember sitting there at the bus stop with all of my stuff, and I just sat there, and I didn't know the bus wasn't coming yet. I just thought it was taking a really long time, although I probably should have clued in that I was the only one at the bus stop for like 45 minutes to an hour. And then all of a sudden, this little old Jewish guy comes up to me, and he's like, you know, looks up at the bus thing, looks down at me with all my luggage, looks back up the bus sign, and he's like, you know, the bus is not coming. And I'm like, I do not know the bus is not coming. That is a very good piece of information that I would have liked to have known maybe an hour ago. But, you know, thank you. I'm glad for that. And he's like, not only does he say the bus is not coming, but his next response is, you come with me. And I'm like, what? You come with me, and I give you a ride. And immediately, my North American mind remembers everything from growing up as a kid, you know, stranger danger, and I mean, he wasn't in a van offering me candy, but he was still just a guy off the street, this little old Jewish man who's like, you ride with me. He didn't even know where I lived yet, and he's like, I give you a ride. And I remember sitting there being like, well, I know I'm supposed to say no, but yeah, okay, because I don't want to sleep in a bus stop tonight. And I remember going up. I mean, this is this whole stressful time, right? And I'm arrived here. I don't know where I'm going. I have no ride there. And here's this person who steps out, invites me. So his family comes and picks him up. His whole family comes and picks him up. I get and I meet his whole family. And then it turns out they live not far from the university where my dorms were going to be. And he says, we're not taking you to the dorms. I'm like, well, here it is. I'm dead. You know, this is what I was expecting this whole time. It's like, you're going to eat with us tonight. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't want to put you out. Like, you give me a ride, you eat with us tonight. And then we sit. I'm like, okay, again, I just, sure, why not? You're a complete stranger. I'll go over to your house with your whole family, and I'll eat with you. And they have this giant feast. And as we're talking, he says, so why are you here? And we start talking. And out of this all, he ends up finding out that I'm looking for a place to live. He ends up putting us in touch with the realtor, who's a friend of his. And we end up finding a house or an apartment immediately. I mean, here I was out of the stress of all of this and probably not making, you know, I was probably angry. I was probably worried. I know I was worried. I know I was stressed. I was in a foreign country that I had never been before. Yet, here's God providing someone for all of these things that's saying, hey, just relax. I've got this. And out of this, it was a family that became great friends of ours from when we were there. And it all started with a conversation at a bus stop at the airport on Sabbath. When I was in a place of extreme worry, and he was just like, you come home with me. Right? And I think for us, if we can take whatever scenario that we want, we could probably find places where we are stressed. We're very worried. Right now, it could be about a job. It could be about health. It could be about family. It could be about all three of those things. But aren't you glad that no matter the problems that you face, there's never, ever a panic going on in heaven? I mean, isn't that reassuring that despite all the chaos that we may deem as chaos, there's never a panic going on in heaven? As we start to unpack what the promise of peace looks like in our lives, let's look at various versions and of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and see how they've been translated over the years and just even paraphrase. The New Living Translation says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." The English Standard Version says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." The New American Standard says, the steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee." And the Amplified Version says, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, he leans on you, and he hopes confidently in you." Now, I know that last one is a paraphrase, but it really expounds on what we need to do to seek peace, doesn't it? And not just seek peace, but perfect peace that can only be found in God. The first part of Isaiah 26:3 contains this powerful promise. You will keep in perfect peace. Keep means guarding or maintaining that perfect peace in life. And with Isaiah's use of colorful language and his vocabulary here, it's striking to me that he doesn't use an adjective to describe God's peace, but simply repeats the word itself, in peace. My experience is that most people fail to find peace that lasts because they're looking for it in the wrong place. Is that your experience? And I realize that as you sit here this morning or you watch on your phones or wherever you may find yourself, you may go to sunrise regularly. But I also understand that you may be joining us for the very first time online. And I'm so glad that you're here. And you may be looking for peace right now. You may be looking for hope right now. And I want to just impress upon you that peace that you're looking for, that hope that you're looking for, that peace in stressful times and turmoil that you're looking for can only be found through Jesus Christ. That perfect peace. And there's a difference between peace and perfect peace. One of the things I loved about Israel is when you say hello, you're always talking about peace. Seems ironic given that the peace process over there has taken so long and is always ongoing. But whenever you say hello to someone, you say essentially, "What's your peace?" Shalom, that word we know for peace. And that's how they say hello. Mashalomcha, mashalomech. What's your peace? To which they immediately respond how their day was. The idea of this is that not only do you hear "What's your peace?" but the reminder of where peace comes from. And that as you tell about what you've done over the course of that day, the thing that you were asked first and foremost is, "What's your peace?" Or "Where is your peace?" is probably even further to how we can understand it. We can see that throughout this, that God keeps us in perfect peace when we do a few things. And that's what I just want us to focus on is what it'll look like for us. How do we respond to get that peace, that perfect peace? You will find, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. A dose of peace when we discipline our minds to stay centered on God and focused on God. The word mind refers to the mindset or frame of mind. And most of us need to reframe our focus so that instead of getting caught up in our problems, we set our gaze on God and who he is. Right? Often in these moments of trial or struggle, we forget that God is in control. And part of that control and see that control is that trust that we need to have in him. And it needs to be with our minds focused, not on the problems at hand, but on God and how he will respond with us in those times of turmoil. I've done a lot, probably, I don't want to say to disturb the peace, but well, there's points in my life where I can see that there are places where I have caused chaos. One of the reasons I love being a camp speaker. When I go to camp, I think of myself as the one of the grandparents of the camp, because I get to go to chapel. I get to get them all fired up and get them all excited. I get to, you know, go meet them at the candy store at camp and give all these rewards of Coca-Cola and candy and all that stuff. So I get to get them all excited. I get to sugar them up. And the best part of being a grandparent, as you grandparents know out there, is at the end of the night, you get to leave and go sleep in your own bed and their parents can deal with it. And that's why I like camp, is because at the end of the night, I go back to my own cabin, I sleep in perfect peace, and they get a bunch of sugared up kids in their cabin till 2 in the morning. But I can see times where I've caused this chaos. A little Saskatchewan story for you. I've told you that Saskatchewan is a very flat place. And when you drive from Regina, Saskatchewan to Calgary, Alberta, there's stretches in the road that go straight for miles and miles. And the road has been driven so frequently by so many people that there's actually tiny little dents in the road where you can see the wheels from thousands and hundreds of thousands of cars have gone. And I remember when I first came to Saskatchewan, I had never seen anything like it. And also, you get pretty bored of something like I Spy after, I don't know, the second mile when there is no hill to say, over there, I spy with this. It's I spy a cow. Great. You know, it's the same cow I've seen for 25 miles, right? Or I spy, you know, a barn when all you can see is barns, right? But I remember us driving and we got bored. Now, I should say this for kids at home. I want you to audibly say out loud, to your parents, I promise whatever story Luke tells, don't worry, I'll wait for you. Whatever story Luke tells, I promise I will not try it on my own. In fact, I don't know, like we're not Netflix or anything like that, but is it possible to just put a box up there that says, skip this story if your kids are learning to drive? No? Maybe? Okay. Anyways, we're driving along and we get this idea of we had some rope in the back. What if we tied a rope to two sides of the steering wheel? And as we're about to drive, we tie these ropes to the steering wheel. My buddy's in the back and he's got the ropes so he can drive from the back seat. And I was going to pretend like I was asleep at the wheel and all I was controlling was the brakes and the brakes and the gas. And we'd wait till we'd pull up to a car next to us and then I would just pretend like I was asleep and the person in the back would just pretend like they're minding their own business, no clue that I'm asleep in the front. And we'd wait till we pass a car and someone would be just enjoying their nice leisurely drive and then what happens? They look over. And I mean, immediately, just gets, you know, horns honking, people waving, families hanging out the window. Stop, what's going on? Someone's asleep. And then I just simply, you know, well, wake up and wave my hand and then just keep on driving. I mean, The amount of times we did this and the amount of chaos we put into people's lives was, I want to say, phenomenal. I was a much younger person. Let me just say that back then. But out of this, I think of what is the chaos that we also put on people's lives when we don't have that peace ourselves, right? When we see some situation and our response is that of worry, that is that of being troubled, when our response is not one of peace, what do other people say about us? Does it look like we're putting our trust in God? Are we truly ready to put our trust in God? God's promise is, instead of focusing on our problems, it's saying focus on Him. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. This provides this helpful, corrective insight as to what might be the number one sin of Christians out there today, which is this anxiety and this worry. Some time ago, a study was done at a leading university. And the research was done about worrying and the question of what people worry about and whether it happens or not. And 40% of the respondents said that their worries never come true. They never even happen. 30% of their worries were about the past. 12% are needless worries about their own health. 10% were petty issues. And 8% were legitimate concerns. Out of this study, it was really showing that 92% of our worry time was wasted energy. But that the Bible says that we're not to even worry about that remaining 8%, the stuff that worries us the most legitimate stuff. God is saying, don't worry about this. I've got this covered. Jesus doesn't want us to be saturated in stress. In Luke 21:34, he warns, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. Some of us are stressed out with everything that's going on. We've been allowing our minds to focus on things that bring us down. Wrong thinking leads to wrong feelings, which leads to wrong living. As we move from thinking about it to actually talking about it, to actually doing it. It changes our whole behavior when we start to worry. As a result, we are neither joyful and we're neither peaceful because we've allowed our own thoughts to control our behavior rather than allow our trust in God to dictate our response. Secondly, God keeps us in perfect peace when we are willing to go. When we keep our wills ready to go wherever He sends us, you will keep in perfect peace Him whose mind is steadfast because He trusts in you. The peace of God protects us. Once we trust God with our trials and our present our requests to Him, His peace will come flooding into our lives. And in verse 7, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. This is the peace that transcends all understanding. The God who created the heavens and the earth is saying, I've got this covered. Do you trust me? I want to give you peace, but you have to trust me. Are you willing to trust? The peace of God will be with us. We do not have to live the Christian life in our own strength because the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom, is with us. Look at verse 9. And the God of peace will be with you. We'll learn more about more of this next week as we continue on, as we look at the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem and understanding that God is in control even amongst the chaos again. But we're in peace when we keep our lives living for the Lord and trusting in the Lord and understanding that He is our rock. But we have to be willing to give over that worry, knowing that when we trust in Him, when we put everything in Him, Peace is one of those results. And again, I can't say it enough, that perfect peace. We rely on God because He is the covenant-keeping God. He is the God who created the heavens and the earth. He is the God who sent His one and only Son to die on a cross, not just for me, but for you. Not for just a bunch of people who believe in Him, in Jesus, right now, but He put His Son on the cross to die for a world that so badly needed that hope. And that hope is something that people are still looking for today. And that true hope, that true peace, that true love, and that peace that passes all understanding can only be found in Jesus. And I say that because if you're here this morning and you're sitting there and you're listening to this and you're saying, I want this peace so badly. I want this unconditional love so badly. I'm looking for a hope so badly. I can tell you that Jesus' hand is stretched out. That He's wanting you to grab it, to acknowledge who He is and that He died for your sins. Take hold of that peace. Take hold of that perfect peace. And follow Him. There's only one way to find that peace. And that's rely on Jesus Christ. God will keep us in perfect peace when we are mindful. God will keep us in perfect peace when we trust in Him. God will keep us in perfect peace when we're willing to go, when we keep our lives living for the Lord. So how is peace produced? It's produced only through God. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give with you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." He expands on this thought in John 16:33. "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And please let me be clear. Peace isn't just getting the perfect doctor's report. Peace isn't when there's no conflict in your marriage. Peace isn't absolute certainty about what the future may hold. And I know we're probably asking that question these days. It's knowledge of the fact that Christ is with you, even if the report comes back, the doctor's report comes back bad. Christ is with you in the midst of tense moments in your relationship. That Christ is with you in the present. He's already waiting for you in the future. God brings His peace into situations where we're most afraid and most frightened, not where there is fear, where there's no fear and no trepidation. It's the moments when we need God's peace the most that He supplies it the most abundantly. So are we going to let trouble and strife and struggle and stress take over our lives? Are we going to understand that the peace that we're looking for is the fact that Christ is with us? God Emmanuel. Are we going to worry ourselves in not knowing about what tomorrow may bring? Or are we going to trust and get that perfect peace in knowing that God has a plan and that His plan has not changed and He's got a plan for each and every one of us? Peace is produced through submission. Submission to God, surrendering fully to Him. And if you haven't done so already, now is the time to do that. Now is the time to understand that God is calling out to you. Are you willing to submit? Are you willing to fully trust in Him? Regardless of the situation or what's going on, are you willing to realize that with God in control, we need to be able to reciprocate that through trust? But you have to acknowledge and you have to submit. This is what the Isaiah 30:15 says. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. "In repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. but you would have none of it. In Leviticus 26, 3 through 6 says, if you follow my decrees and you carefully obey my commands, I will grant peace in the land and you will lie down and no one will make you afraid. I wonder how God would respond to us today. I wonder how God would respond to our own reactions about the situation that's going on today. Would he say that we're being afraid? Would he say that we're too stressed out about this? What I want to leave us with is the fact that God wants to bless us. He often does it in all sorts of surprising ways. But you have to give him your worries, give him your fears, give him your concerns and those things that keep you up at night and ask for that peace that is perfect. All of this understanding that God is in control, all of this is about, that we've talked about today, is how we respond. Not just recognizing that God is in control, but if we want that peace, part of us is our actions in recognizing that God is in control and accepting that God is in control. So where do we go from here? I think we pray for peace. I think we ask God for peace. I think we have to acknowledge that we trust in Him. Through the chaotic times, we have to trust in Him, that He is in control. We have to ask for that peace, that perfect peace. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you that we can gather together in homes across the county, and who knows where people are joining us from this morning as we're online. But God, you've brought us here for a reason in our homes, our offices, wherever we may be watching this right now. But God, you have brought us here for a reason. My prayer is that if we are looking for peace, if we are looking for hope, if we are looking for something in these troubled times, God, that we would see that you are the answer, that we acknowledge that you are in control, but God, we realize that we have to do our part in this and trust that you are in control. God, we ask for that peace this week. Take away that stress. Take away that worry. And God, throughout this all, throughout everything that's going on, no matter whether the news is good or whether the news is bad, God, at the end of the day, peace isn't just having that a good report or a bad report on health or whatever it may be. The peace is realizing that you are there with us. The God of heaven's armies is with us as we go through this. So nothing can stand in our way, because nothing stands in your way, and you are with us. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. And we just lift this week up and everything that goes with it, we lift it up to you. And we pray these things in your amazing and holy name. Amen. Sunrise, it's so great to join you again, and it's so great to be a part of this, even from a distance. I'm looking forward to being back next week, and we get to continue this series as we head into Palm Sunday and the excitement that comes with that, and Jesus entering the city, and I love this story. I'm so excited for it. I can't wait to talk about it. Can't wait for you to join me. And so we will see you next week. Take care, and God bless.